Blog Talk Radio.
Viewer discretion is advised.
In the air down the right field line, it's deep, and that ball is gone. It's out of here to give the A's the lead. Lowry down the right field line hits his 12th, and Oakland has a 5-4 lead.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Sports on the Line. It's a new week for the show. And, oh, man, I am so upset at the Detroit Tigers. They had a game. It just sounded like everything was just going just fine. But Shane Green, once again, comes in, messes things up. But, how are you guys doing? How was you guys this weekend? I will get to a lot. I've made this an hour. Let's see how it goes. The NBA Awards. They are tonight. I won't check it out as much as I did last year. Anthony Anderson does have the host job. So, maybe I'll check it out. You know, it was all right last year. It was great to see plays and all of that. So, you know, I might turn to it. I might, you know, give it a little, show it a little love. Show it a little love. But a lot of baseball we'll get to. But I will start with baseball. Because the Tigers did play early game because of fireworks. For those that don't know, yes, we have fireworks here in Detroit. The last Monday of June, and because of it being fireworks, we have an early game, and I knew that the Athletics would be the team that we faced, and they're a very good team. They're a solid power coming into the season. They're just a game back of the Angels, and they're probably going to be tied with the Angels now. I think the Angels have lost. I'm mistaken. I didn't check that out. I think they did lose their game. Lost to Zip. If you were to tell me, I would have put money on the Angels. I would have had the under. I would have said, I'm taking the under, and I would take Oakland. So I would have got 2 of 3 right. But I didn't do that. Got 2 of 3 right. Couldn't be upset. But anyway, you know, Edwin Jackson, you know, made his first start of this season. 16 years in the league. You know, he had he has a major league record, or at least tied the record for his 13th team. He's 34 years old, and now he's been one of my favorites to watch over the years. You know, they came through with their offense. I told you guys. You know, Franklin Barreto, I've talked about him. He had a game-tying double. You know, it was a 3-run eighth. Jay Lowry had a solo shot, got a ball inside, low at the knees. That's not what you want to give Jay Lowry. He's went away from Jay Lowry the whole game, the whole at-bat, and boom, there you go. Just pitiful. Steven Piscotty got a homer in the game. That was a game tying home run. That was a 7. A streak. Did you guys know this? I saw this yesterday. That the Oakland A's have 26 games in a row on the road with a home run. That is the major league record. And that's an amazing stat. This team does bring power. And this is what I talked about beginning of the season, the Oakland Athletics, and, you know, I really forgot about just me talking about it, just how much power this team has. Talked about Olsen. I mean, I've told Troy this. I mean, I've mentioned this on many occasions and all that stuff. But this is where I've said it on Friday. The season pretty much is going to be over for the Tigers. I mean, honestly, it hurts. It hurts to say it. It hurts to see this. But I believe it. That this is where, okay, they led you to believe now it's going to be possible where the White Sox will be back and White Sox will be good. And it's going to be nasty. You know, it's just going to be just a long season. It's not even July yet. We got July. We got August. Then we got to deal with September. We could still be last in the division. We can still be the worst team in all of baseball. Because pretty much the National League, the worst team in the National League is the Marlins, 31-47. That's the worst team in the National League. But then in the American League, it is Kansas City Royals. Well, Kansas City Royals, Baltimore Orioles, you know, they merged together to have a 23-win season so far. The White Sox is right behind them. And the Rangers, surprisingly, are bad. You would have figured Oakland would have been last in the division. So, you know, I want to poke a little fun on Tigers' season. Because, I mean, you look at it, the schedule's going to get tough. So I've said it. At first, I'm like, okay, it can be Oakland. But, you know, this is a four-game series. And now they got two more. Well, three more. There's the 7 o'clock starts, and then it's the 1 o'clock start on Thursday. And then they go to Toronto for four games. Then they get the Cubbies. They don't have no days off. No days off the Thursday of July the 12th. July 12th, that's a long time. Then they just get a weekend series with Houston. So the starters have to do well. And I must say that I was very impressed by Zimmerman, by the way. So a little something. It was a big MLB Sunday. Nationals had a late rally. I mean, I was so upset at that because I like the Phillies. I like the Phillies so much. It was 6-2. The Phillies was up 6-2. And it looked like the Nationals were going to be up 8-6. They just went up 8-6 just like that. The Nationals have been that team where you don't know if the offense will step up, or they be that team where the offense do step up and they're going to do so well. On paper, the offense always looks good. But then they never show up. Bryce Harper got to start hitting. You know, that's been my issue. Big issue. They're 41-35. They have to win that game. The Phillies, hey, they're 41-34. The Braves are still doing their thing. I figured the Nationals can win this division. I didn't think it was going to be easy. I said Atlanta was the team, you know, that I'm really looking forward to seeing. And look at them. Atop of that division. Now, tomorrow will be interesting because Max Scherzer is going against Nathan Eovaldi. He's Gio against Blake Snell right now. And they turn around and I believe they have a day off and then they go to Philly. And they're going to play the Phillies the next weekend. This weekend coming up, I should say. I believe it's a four-game series. Let me see. Thursday, yep. 20th is Thursday. So it's a four-game series. So they're going to turn around. And play them. And they won't even see Max Scherzer. So on the national side of things, they got to get it going. Because this is another big test. Because you didn't do so well. You almost got swept. But you used a comeback effort. Because Aaron Nola was out there pitching. And he took care of y'all. Eflin came out there. Justin Rourke was a no-show. And then here you go. You go ahead and do your thing. Sean Doolittle, when he come in, it's tough. But this is where Washington got to get this win against Philly. Because they play Boston for the 4th of July. For the holiday week. Start the new week, the first week of July, they play Boston. So good luck. The only good thing is, okay, you're going to see Max Scherzer. You're going to see Max Scherzer on the second. You know, so that'll be, that's a sexy matchup there. Right there. You got it. Max Scherzer and possibly, well, I don't even know. I don't even know if it'll be Chris Sale. Maybe Ricky P. Because Chris Sale just pitched, what, yesterday? And by the way, he had himself a 13 strikeout type of day. So it looks like he's getting it going. And the Yankees got swept. Is it time to panic a little bit on the Yankees? You know, people are going to ask me about it. I know, especially if they start to lose. I think they're playing today. If memory serves me correct, I think they are. Yeah, they have Phillies themselves. So that's an interesting series. No Gary Sanchez. He's on the DL. And then they turn around and play Boston. This is a tough stretch for the Yankees, too. Just got swept by Tampa Bay. It's not really that good, but they're a, you know, they're a divisional team, so can't take them lightly. And you travel to Philly, and then you get Boston. And Chris Sale is definitely going to have one of those starts. And then you play Atlanta. A potential World Series matchup, perhaps, but I love the fact that Giancarlo's starting to hit. Like he's going to get to his 50 home runs because it's like every game he's getting home runs. And Aaron Judge, he'll probably be close to 50. Gary Sanchez is going to do good. Still have a very good lineup. Then they get their division opponents, and then they get the matchup with Cleveland before the All-Star festivities, with the Home Run Derby and with the All-Star game on that Tuesday. Then you get the break, then another Subway Series with the Mets. So it'll be interesting how the Yankees will be. But I will hype up that Yankees and Indians series because it's a four-game series. Not even sure if Gary Sanchez will be back. Excuse me. And, of course, you know the Indians swept the Tigers. They won seven straight now. And the Tigers are god-awful now, like I've told Troy. So a lot of people. Throwing a number out if you want to talk to me, 294-9270-5945, baseball fans. I get to the NBA in a minute. But the Indians is definitely going to run away with the division. I thought so at first, you know, when the season started. I was a little concerned because they wasn't hitting right. But when I turn around and look at it, Jose Ramirez is hitting with power. Of course, Lindor, and he didn't start off with power this season. Edwin Encarnacion has a quite 18 home runs. Yonder Alonso is doing good. Michael Brantley is good to see him back and healthy and doing his good stuff. Jason Kipnis is struggling, and they could be in the running for Manny Machado. How interesting would that be? You got Jose Ramirez play second. This team will really, this is where that team will be the favorite to win the American League, and they will get their rematch. They will be able to get the rematch with the Cubs because I know the Cubs, they got swept by the Reds, but the Reds are hot right now. The Reds are on a different level right now. They're 32-45. They're trying to creep up with Pittsburgh because Pittsburgh, this is the thing about Pittsburgh. They were overachieving. They've been overachieving, too. We talked about the Tigers overachieving. This team is overachieving. Come again. It was really the offense that was so good on paper that you felt like, okay, they can do something. But Josh Bell, he ain't hitting where we thought. Josh Harrison ain't 300. At least Corey Dickerson is. Starling Marte. Gregory Polanco isn't playing well. So their offense is struggling. And, you know, I feel like their pitching wasn't going to be anything. And now their pitching isn't doing much right now. And that's just going on this Pittsburgh team. And right now, I wish Troy was here so we could talk Pittsburgh because they were overachieving. You know, just, you know, the offense on paper is just so good. the pitching staff was the concern for me. But according to the simulations, they started off just the same way. Overachieving, hitting well, pitching well. Now, I didn't get as far as 77 games in, but it's just the way they started in the regular season this year, real life, same way they started on the game, hot. Until they play the Cubs. And the Cubs, they're just really that team to me. Like, I think Atlanta can really compete. And I would even say the Dodgers, because coming in, you know, I don't know why Troy had them as a surprise team when they were the best team in baseball last year. But, see, the Dodgers, they're getting their mojo back. You know, I feel like, okay, the Dodgers can do it. San Fran can do it. I'm not too sold on Colorado. They're a disappointment right now. And Arizona, I can't trust, but you got to just respect what they're doing. But I can't trust them. If they make the playoffs, they win a division, make the playoffs, I just won't respect whoever they face, you know, in the first round. Just won't be able to do it. You know, it's really the National League looks wide open, but I'm still siding with the Cubbies. Still going with the Cubbies, okay? Pence got a walk-off when base hit. I was watching that game live yesterday. I didn't watch the Dodgers game, but Justin Turner did help out in the win. The Braves took the finale game. I saw Fernando Rodney getting that close, getting that save. I love it when he goes out and gets that save. One of my favorite closers of all time, just to watch. You know, it was really Rivera's the best closer of all time, but, you know, I'm just saying. The Cardinals used a 5-run 4th to win. Johan Moncada had a big day of 6 RBIs with a homer. Big day. Diamondbacks got the sweep, and I did watch the Marlins rock the Rockies, and the Blue Jays got the rally in the 10th over the Angels. Good. That was a good game, too. So, just little side notes there on a little baseball. For those that don't know, the NBA awards are tonight. I believe it starts at 8 o'clock, if I'm not mistaken. I'll watch a little bit of it. But I just really want to talk about, you know, who should win these awards. I think they did a pretty good job last year on their awards. I'm really interested in who's going to win MVP. I know I'm going to get all the updates, all that good stuff. But if you want to go come debate with me on the NBA awards, who should win these awards, 949-270-5945. The most improved player. It's only 3 players, Oladipo, Dinwiddie, and Capella. It was very – this is tough to me. I know, you know, we talk about Oladipo and just what a runaway he can be. With just what he's done with the Pacers, helping them make the playoffs, because they wasn't going to make the playoffs without him. I thought it was a good trade. I thought he was going to do well, and everybody laughed. Everybody laughed at me when I said he was going to really do well. He's back home in Indiana. That's where he's from. He loves Indiana, so why not? And you look at it, his points per game went up, steals went up, rebounds went up, his assist numbers went up, and this is just from last year. You have to do it just from last year, because his assists were about the same from his first 2 years in Orlando. And he's still young, so let's not forget. Oladipo's young. But, you know, it's tough. Spencer Dinwiddie had himself a year for the Brooklyn Nets. Now, people are probably not going to say he didn't have that same year that Oladipo had. No, but his assists doubled from last year. His rebounds went up. You know, the steals were on the same. His turnovers went up. But his points per game went up. You know, he's taking a lot of shots, being very aggressive. You know, I wouldn't be mad if he won it. But Clint Capella also being in this race, I can say that his rebounds went up almost by 3. His blocks went up almost 1. So that lets you know, silver percentage rose up. So I think it's between Capella and Oladipo. And I would give it to Oladipo, but, you know, I wouldn't be mad if Capella or even Dinwiddie won it. But I would give it to Oladipo. There you go. Coach of the Year. People debated this. I think that Brad Stevens should be the Coach of the Year. It's between Dwayne Casey, who is now the Detroit Pistons coach, Brad Stevens, who is the Boston Celtics coach, Dwayne Casey was Toronto's coach last year, and Quinn Snyder. Now, it's very tough. Either one of these guys, they can win. One of those three can win the coach of the year. I would say even easily. Because you look at Toronto had a franchise year. And I said, this is the best Toronto team they've ever had. I can at least say that. I can admit to it. And then you look at the Utah Jazz, who lost their best player in Gordon Hayward to the Boston Celtics. And they made the playoffs. Donovan Mitchell, they made the second round. But how about that? The OKC team, who nobody figured would lose in the first round. And then you have Brad Stevens, who lost Kyrie for the year, who lost Gordon Hayward for the year. I was playing 5 minutes of the game. 5 minutes of the game. Of the season.
What'd it look like?
I think that Brad Stevens should win Coach of the Year. And it's not even because he's one of my favorite coaches to watch. I've watched him in Butler. He's really good, very smart. But just what he has done, for this team, it was amazing. Jason Tatum being a stud, just being a big-time stud. Kyrie being out, Gordon Hayward, those are the top two players. Jason Tatum had to play like the best player on the team. Al Horford, still phenomenal. He should win it. Now, I wouldn't be mad if any one of those three guys win it. Sixth man. Look at Lou Will. He's always in the running. You know, you want to talk about his production on the court. He has been a part of the league for a long time. I've watched Lou Will when he was with the 76ers. He had to go against the Pistons, and he was killing us. Can't forget it. He started 19 games. Now, I don't know what his average was with him starting and coming off the bench. But he's at 22.5 points a game because he was starting. So I don't know what you can account for that. And then you look at Eric Gordon. I mean, those two guys were in the running last year. Remember that? They were on the same team. On the same team in the running. Eric Gordon started 30 games. And then you look at Mr. Fred VanVleet. Now, he didn't start a game. He's averaged 8.6. Now, he's not going to win it. Because I'm sure that those two guys score more off the bench. I think Lou Will will win it. But just for VanVleet to be nominated is just good. That's a good thing for him. He's the best bench player. He was the leader off the bench for Toronto. Huge big-time improvement as well. I mean, I would have him in the running for the most improved player. I wouldn't be mad if he won. Defensive player of the year, so I did pick Lou Will. Defensive player of the year, Rudy Gobert, Joel Embiid, and Anthony Davis. Now, Mr. Gobert, he is a guy that's going to get two blocks a game. He's been doing that for now 4 years. Look at Joel Embiid, and I must say, I might be a little upset, and I might be biased because of Andre Drummond. I think Andre Drummond deserves to be in the running for defensive player of the year. Not only did he lead the league in rebounding, but he's averaging still and a half, a block and a half. Why isn't he in the running for Defensive Player of the Year? That's my issue. Now, Anthony Davis, I think, should win it. If anybody wins Defensive Player of the Year, it's Anthony Davis. I think Andre Drummond is a better defender than Gobert and Joel Embiid. But Anthony Davis should win Defensive Player of the Year. I think it'd be crazy if he didn't. 2.5 blocks a game, 1.5 steals. Those other guys don't even have 1.5 steals like that. You know what I'm saying? So he should win it. And that's that. He should definitely win. I don't want to see anybody else win. They don't deserve it, like Anthony Davis. Rookie of the Year, Donovan Mitchell, Ben Simmons, Jason Tatum. Now, good to see Jason Tatum nominated, but he's not going to win it. It'd be great to see him win it, but it's not going to happen. Donovan Mitchell had 20.5 points. I said, who was the last guy you've seen? Averaged 20 points, and now we're in Rookie of the Year. It was Carmelo. Yes, Carmelo scored more points than LeBron James in rookie campaign. And I believe it. Did he make playoffs that year? I can't remember. But even so, LeBron James had 5 of 5 and all of that. I think Melo still should have won the Rookie of the Year. I don't think he was robbed of it, but I would have picked Melo to win it just because his team was winning. But no one paid attention to Melo because all the hype was LeBron James. So there's that. But I think Donovan Mitchell should win it. You know, people were trying to sell me that Ben Simmons should win it. Yeah, he had 15-8-8. Now, if you want to give me, if Donovan Mitchell win it, that means Melo should have won the Rookie of the Year. But if Ben Simmons win it, it's, you know, I think it's fair. If LeBron James won it that year, I think Ben Simmons should win it this year. It was basically 16 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists. Why not? And then Jason Tatum wasn't going to win it. Now, the MVP people want to talk about. Who should win MVP? Should be James Harden? Should be LeBron James? Should be Anthony Davis? James Harden had 30.5 points. Should have won MVP last year, but Russell Westbrook had a phenomenal year. Now, James Harden didn't have as many rebounds as he did last year, which would have definitely been a unanimous MVP for him. But it's not that unanimous when you got LeBron James on the other side, who was averaging 27.5 points, 9 rebounds, 8.5, with 9 assists, 8.5 rebounds. When you have that, it's like, okay, LeBron James might just win it. Might just get it done. Then you look at Anthony Davis, 28 points a game, 11 rebounds, 2.5 blocks, 1.5 steals, 2.5 assists. That could win because of defensive stats. And I wouldn't be upset. But I think that LeBron James will win the MVP. I think it would be great for him to do that. But I wouldn't be upset. I want James Harden to win it because I think that he deserves an MVP finally. I mean, come on. He does. He really does. So that's my picks. We're going to cut the show short tonight. I'll tell you this. What to watch for, 8 o'clock, the top 100. I want to talk about that tomorrow. I don't really like the top 100, but that's what I'm going to spend the show on. I will talk about the NBA awards as well, what's going on in baseball. I will be watching the Tigers game. I'm going to be wasting my time. I'm going to do it, have a little fun. And I will get some feedback from our radio crew. And 97 won the ticket from Dan Dickerson and Jim Price. You guys got to hear these guys. These guys are amazing. I think we have the best media broadcasters in all of sports. Every Detroit team, we have it. I mean, I don't know about the Detroit Lions. TV broadcast, radio broadcast is outstanding. All of our radio broadcasts are phenomenal. So I just must say, I love it. So for those that are big fans of that, go ahead and watch it. Just watch it. You'll be able to watch it. Listen in, you know, after the game over with, go ahead and just hear just how great they are. They are really great. Just had to give a big shout-out. So another shout-out, the big WNBA Sunday, Candace Parker and the Sparks. They still hold off as the best team. Candace Parker had a good game. Maya Moore and Lynx look like they're getting it together. You know, I said it. Hey, they can get hot. Troy even said it. They get hot in time. Breanna Stewart does lead the league in scoring. That's what makes Seattle Storm very interesting to watch. She needs to finally get a ring. Chicago Sky got a big upset win over Phoenix, a team that a lot of people figure can beat, you know, said Sparks, said Lynx. And Breonna Jones gets some Connecticut Sun back to victory. That's just great. So enjoy the top 100 and enjoy the NBA Awards, which has just started. So I'll see you guys tomorrow.